It's wonderful to be back, and we could definitely keep Latasha and Miss Linda in your prayers and the family, you know, once we find out more about Miss Linda's leg and situation. So we could have maybe we could pray for that. And then what we're going to do is, since we have Miss Connie with us, who was on the trip, it would be nice to just hear.
I did it out there.
Maybe 5 minutes of just something that God maybe spoke to you while you were there, and also Nyasha is Denise's.
Recovering from the trip.
Then Denise is recovering. So we could do that before we begin. Maybe just a small thought, Miss Connie.
My roommate.
Oh, no.
We'll come
back your weekend.
Well, first off, I think going on a trip, something like that, really makes you appreciate what you have back here at home. And just being thankful for what you had, because they had so little, but yet they weren't, everyone we talked to wasn't angry, you know what I mean? Because of having so little. So it really makes you appreciate that. I will be missing the people, not the food, but I don't know. I feel that God led me to go there, and I think I got a lot out of it, you know, just the way they work and live and how they take care of each other, you know. It's like not so much over here. I mean, there's a lot of families that take care of their own families and stuff. But over there, they really insist on, and if they don't have families to do it, another family will just come in and help or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, the churches were different, but the buildings that we went into weren't completely finished buildings. But the people were just appreciative that they had some place to go to worship God. And you can feel it all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
So, yeah, definitely. But it's funny because you said that you appreciate the way that people take care of each other. But for me, that's what I feel like we have in our church. Like, you take care of us so much,
but
you know?
I don't mean just the church. I mean
just in
out
general.
In
yeah.
general, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whether you're family or a church family. It just seemed like when the mother was there at their stands trying to sell their goods or whatever, the kids were all together. They took care of the younger siblings, and then there was older ones that kind of walked around with them that I saw.
Right.
So it didn't matter that they weren't actually blood related. They were still, I thought they felt like they were family.
Yeah, definitely. And that, it's definitely different from here, right? Like because in the church we see that, but not like.
Not just out in the open.
Right, like, because it's like if someone's struggling, like they help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome to go with a lot of people that haven't been there before. Like, I really loved watching, like, Miss Connie or, like, Shantae, Emma, like, JR, Jeremiah, to just see people, Clayton, like, experiencing it, like, was so awesome for me, and I'm sure, like, a lot of us that we've been able to do that. But then to do that with you guys is, like, to see it in a whole fresh, new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just really, like, I love Africa, so it was just a special time for me. And then, I feel like the messages that Pastor Chevelli and, like, Pastor Jay and the other pastors gave were just so powerful, especially just for me. I know it was really, really timely. Like, I'm like, okay, because in Africa, like, you can kind of say things that you can't really say here. Because here, like, a lot of times you'd be, like, correct. And, you know, Americans can get very offended. But it's like, they were just speaking, like, this is the way it is. And it really is how life is. But Pastor Giovelli wasn't holding back. And I was just really like, yes, like, this is good. This is what we want. Like, normally, you know him, most of us, like, he doesn't hold back. But even in Africa, like, he's so much more free. And you could see even him, like, so happy, so joyful. And, like, everyone was just, like, free to be themselves and to do, like, you know, the Ghanaians dance during their worship. And that was fun to see Mr. Alex out there with his handkerchief. And just to see people being free, like, I loved it. And one of the messages that I really loved was Pastor Chevelli was saying that God runs to our cry. And it was just, he's like, I don't... What he was saying, like, he doesn't, like, kind of, like, okay, they're crying out for help, but he, and he gave, like, an illustration where he's, like, had his translator stand over there, and then he's here, he's like, he runs to your cry, and he starts running over to the guy, and then he just, like, screams, and he's like, God's running to your cry, to your every cry, and I was just thinking about, you know, like, a lot of us are crying out for help, we might not say it, but in us, like, God knows what we're crying for, you know? And it just was such an incredible time. And I felt like, you know, on these trips, like, we were, like, crying out for help from God before the trip, during the trip, after the trip. Like, we're always crying out. And God's like, I'm here. I'm meeting you. Like, see, I'm doing that. And even in the trip, like, there were little things that, you know, little blessings that I feel like we all kind of got. Like, just, I don't know, like, to have water and the different things. Like, to have a good, like... We got to go out and go to the market, and it's like we got shea butter. Like, that's like a little blessing, you know, for people. Like, we got it for one CD, which is like 10 cents or something. Like, we got to be with each other. We got fresh coconuts, and it's like little things where God's like, you know, there's like a, like, I want to bless you. I want to do these little things for you. But then my favorite thing that I always keep telling everyone is that the pastor's wife in Takoradi, the one church that's about the size of ours, she said that our team just seemed like this. That, like, the people that came just seemed like this. And, like, that we were so close and we were so loving that we just seemed like a little family. And I was, like, thinking, like, we were only, like, a little part of our church. Like, we were just showing them what we are here in York. Because I'm, like I said in the beginning, like, Miss Connie takes care of me. She takes care of us. Like, today we were saying, Miss Connie came in. She was like, I have lunch for you guys. Me and Brigitte are like, oh, thank God. You know, we're like, but that's like what she said, you know, we all like take care of each other in little ways, and it was just so great that we could just take that to Africa, and they're like, this is amazing, like, you guys are great, like, thank you for coming, and yeah, it's an amazing trip, and it's such a privilege to be able to travel, like, with so many people, like, and then also to know that we have a home to come back to, for people that are praying for us, that are helping us, that are, like, holding down the fort so we can go. And then we can come back and just be, like, encouraged and edified. Like, and I know, like, others that stayed were praying for God to bless them, too. And I know God's, like, he's working in all of our lives. And it's just, it's encouraging to go and then also to come back. We're ready to come back.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you both, really, for just sharing. That's so wonderful. I just love, like, for Niasha, this is not her first time going. Miss Connie, this is your first time going. So it's just great to get two different aspects and views of the whole thing. So why don't we just pray and we can begin. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for bringing us back safely. We thank you, God, for getting us through customs safely and, you know, we thank you for our beef jerky that almost got one person deported. Lord. But thank you for everything. And we ask that you bless this study, Lord. Just visit us today, tonight, and be in our midst, Lord. And just anyone that is suffering, Lord, physically right now, God, we just pray that you heal them. Heal Miss Linda, Lord. Let this time just be pain-free. God, just deal with whatever issue it is with the leg, Lord. Give wisdom to the doctors and just anyone else, Lord, especially those that, like, came from the trip. They might still have maybe stomach issues. We don't know. But we ask, Lord, that you really just protect God. And then continue, Lord, to just do the work that you're doing in us, in all of us, Lord, no matter where we are. In your name we pray. Amen.
I have to tell them about the story with Clayton and the wives. So at the very first church we went to and stuff, Clayton got up and started dancing. Well, he ended up dancing with this one lady.
They're not dancing together. It's like a group of them. I just want to... Right. Not Clayton. It's a woman in the center of the church dancing.
And so she puts her scarf around me, you know. And Pastor Chevelli comes up and him and a couple other pastors got together and said, you know, over here in Ghana, that means that you're taken. So she had done this for her one daughter. So we were teasing Clayton the whole time, you know, that he has to stay over there and get married and this and that because he's already promised and stuff. He said, no, God will find me a wife. How Clayton is. But then the next couple churches, Pastor, not Henry,
Nimoto?
No.
The translator?
Mowgli.
Pastor Mowgli?
Mowgli, yeah. He came up to him and he says, okay, Clayton, how many years for 12 babies? He said, you need to find that wife quick because I need 12 babies. I have to make my own tribe. He's called and he said, and they got to be circumcised before you send them over here. So when you see Clayton asking and say, have you found your wife yet to start your baby factory? So it didn't matter where we were. The two of them would come up to him and he kept doing it and stuff. It was so funny. So I just wanted to tell everyone about that.
Clayton's tribe. I'm so glad I heard that.
I love that. I mean, when we were in Togo, we would eat, you know, we had a meal plan and they would serve us a meal in Pastor Paul's office, which was the only room with AC. And by the time we got to the AC room, we were like ready for it because it was very hot. But we noticed that Clayton always had more food on his plate than everyone else. And like, he never had to ask, may I have some more? Or, you know, these ladies with big smiles. I mean, we all know, and Pastor Chabelli was like, even he gets like the double portion the whole time. It was so funny. I mean, he was very provoked, but it was just so funny. It was just great, you know. Okay, so I really liked I think Nyasha shared like some of the thoughts that came out of the whole time, and for us it started off when we arrived. We went to one service. I did not attend that one service because I was looking after someone that was sick, but then soon after that, then, you know, we had a time in Takoradi, and it was like every place we went to was amazing. And I, like what Miss Connie said, like every church was different, was unique, but it was this family of God, the same spirit, and it was very precious. And when we were in Takoradi, we had all that equipment. I mean, we had like 12 bags, was it, of equipment, not including our own stuff, like not including our... So it was amazing. We were this vast, like packed with stuff in and out and the people. And then we, we would set up all the equipment, which I'm sure on Sunday you'll probably see some of the photos of what we did there. And it was, I think it was really great for... You know, like even our students to see like what we do, you know, like this is one of the things we do on these mission trips. You know, we set up and then we we sing, and it's a way to just to gather people for them to hear the gospel message. And it's so interesting because we went in a very dry season, Hamatan, and the day we were gonna get set up, do everything to like perform, the rain came. It was the most unusual thing. And we were trying to find a place where we could set up, and we couldn't find it. And the rain was coming and going, and it was very interesting. But it was like a real war in the atmosphere. It was total warfare. That suddenly this rain in the middle of a desert, like dry desert season, would just come, and it was war. And then, you know, Latasha and Pastor Shibeli, they went with one of the other pastors, and myself, Nyasha, Catherine, and Joe G, we were waiting with all this equipment in this corner for them to like find a place, and it took a long time. But then when we found it, it was the spot. And oh my goodness, it was amazing. I think we were there for like, what, 2 hours?
Like
four. 4 hours in that place.
Yeah, because we were supposed to go back for a meal.
Yeah,
and that was staying because everybody was coming. They wanted to hear.
Yeah, and we just decided. I mean, you know, we were like, you know what? We drove this long to get here. Let's just be here and see what the Holy Spirit does. And there was a lot that happened there, so it was amazing. But things like that were happening constantly. So we were in Takoradi, then from there we went back to Tema, where we had the main conference in Klaigon. And then after the conference, then we traveled, half the group, or six of them, they came back with Mishante, and then the rest of us traveled on to Togo. So it was very, very, every part of the trip was very unique.
An eye-opening,
yes. And when we crossed the border into Togo, everything suddenly became French, you know, so French speaking, French everything, you know. So, but the people were so sweet, and they don't often get as many American visitors, you know, in Togo. A lot of people go to the Ghana conference, but to travel to Togo is another thing. So like they were just so like that we were 13 people, and they really honored us, and they just wanted us a part of everything, and you know, it was really special. But I would have to say, in my opinion, and I think others, yeah, the messages all had a running theme. And it was interesting because they were talking about friendship a lot, and faithfulness, and loyalty,
family,
love, and unity, and how, like, you know, in this day and age, like, God, Satan is wanting to attack all of those things, because with all of these things, there is such power, and there is such a blessing that comes with all of that. And like being faithful to the word of God and holding fast to it. And Pastor Shibeli's last messages was about staying by the well that he has called us to, because it's also being faithful, to not just to the people that God has put in your life, but also to the calling in your life. Like, Miss Connie has a different calling to my calling. The same with Nyasha, Brigitte. Like, our callings are very unique and very, very special to God, because He's formed you in a unique way. And it's interesting. I was actually listening to a message by Pastor Ben, and Pastor Shada did the introduction. I think it was on the 26th of January. And they were both speaking about this very thing, about friendship, about loyalty. And then Pastor Ben's main message was also being faithful to the ministry that he has called us to our own ministry. And so One of the last messages that Pastor Shibeli preached on was in Genesis 49:22, when he speaks about Joseph, and he says that the verse is about Joseph being a fruitful vine, and that, you know, that his branches will like go over the wall. And he spoke about the life of Joseph a lot. And, you know, the life of Joseph is very, very intense. And his main thing was, like, not praying that the wall comes down, because the wall represents, like, all the difficulties, hardships, trials that will be in our lives. You cannot get rid of those things. It kind of, like, makes you, actually, into who you are. And but that our prayer should not be that gets removed, but that our branches like grow, and that they grow over it. And when Jacob blessed his sons at the end, you know, that was one of the blessings that he gave Joseph. And during this trip for me, I'm in my Bible reading, and I actually was simultaneously reading the life of Jacob, and I was more in the life of Jacob, and then it was kind of cool because then Pastor Shibeli was talking about Joseph, and there is so much that happens before this very verse, like before Genesis 49, there is so much that happens in the life of Jacob before he gets to that point. And My thoughts began, Latasha, myself, Catherine, Emma, Denise, and Taya, we were in the UK for a week before we even went to Africa. And we were with Jiwon and his family. And Jiwon is now with us. He's going to be with us for a little bit of time. And so God has been showing me a lot in my own life about different things, and I want to share this story, and hopefully it will make sense, and then it'll like tie into Jacob and then Joseph. But there is a quote, and I'm reading this great book, but it's about basically finding like the finding your soul again in the crucible of ministry. And like Jesus said, you know, you gain the whole world and you lose your soul. Like, what's the point? And oftentimes, and especially in this day and age, where Satan, remember, he is absolutely against friendship, against loyalty, against faithfulness, against love, against unity. So he is always trying to attack that and bring in a distorted version. We use the term counterfeit version of that. So guarding ourselves is actually critical. And there's a quote that says a leader, and I mean, when it says a leader, you could put yourselves in whatever calling you have. Remember, we're all unique and set apart. Miss Irene's calling is very different from whoever, Caroline and Miss Denise. So it says, a leader is a person who must take special responsibility for what's going on inside him or herself, inside his or her consciousness. And the person that wrote this book, and I've shared it to a couple of people, this story, but she was swimming on one of the beaches in Florida, and she knew that it was dangerous to swim there because she said, gosh, if anything happened to me, no one would find me for 1 or 2 days. But she was swimming and it was fine. And she just kept, you know, going in. And one day, as she was swimming, this fisherman ran to her and said, get out of the water, quickly, run, get out. So she's like, she hears him, she swam as fast as she could possibly swim, got out of the water, ran to, like, where there was sand, turned around, and underneath where she was swimming was this big black shadow. And she said to the fisherman, what on earth is that? And it was like this type of crocodile, but it's like one of the most dangerous types of crocodiles, massive, that could just eat you, you know. And then he left her quickly and started running and warning the other people. But it's like paying very special attention to what is going on deep inside each one of us. Like, we had to take care of ourselves, of our souls, and what Satan tries to bring in that is not, it's not what God has intended. And in the life of Jacob, from the beginning of Jacob's birth with Esau, they were twins. Jacob was going to be the one that was going to have the blessing. He was going to, God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, and he was going to fulfill this promise. So from very early on, Jacob already had it. Like, it was a part of the plan of God. God has a plan in our lives. He has a plan from the very beginning. And maybe in your life, like, you could think of times where God spoke to you very specifically about certain things. And maybe you forgot those things. But God never forgets. He never forgets. But Jacob, he kind of, his name means like deceiver, supplanter. He had a problem. He was, underneath his soul was like this deception that kept coming in. And from the beginning, from Genesis 27, verse 12, we see Isaac, his dad, wanted to bless Esau. He favored Esau and Rebekah favored Jacob, you know. So then Rebecca, Jacob's mother, decided to try to, you know what, I'm going to, you know, I know he wants to bless Esau, but let's just dress you up nicely, put hair on you, because Esau is a much hairier man, and I'll make the soup your dad likes. I know exactly what he likes, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to trick him, basically, so he could bless you. So that's like man-made. You know, we see the deception maybe in the genetics there. You know, his mom is like helping him fool the dad, you know. And at one moment he says, but you know, he's like, Isaac's going to find out. He's going to know. And then I'm going to be cursed. And then she says, the curse will be on me. Don't worry. You know, but we're going to do this thing. We're going to keep on with the plan of deception. So anyways, to cut a long story short, that's what happens. And Isaac blesses Jacob. And then Esau comes. And it's like the whole thing. He's angry. He's like, I can't believe it. Because remember, Jacob had already gotten his birthright from Esau with a bowl of lentils. You know, okay, Esau kind of gave it to him. But he was so angry. Esau was so angry that he wanted to kill him. So we, in Genesis, in Genesis 27:42, Esau was planning to kill Jacob. So then in Genesis 27:43, Isaac told Jacob, just flee and go to Laban. And when your brother is forgotten, I'll send word and then you could come back. So he's like, okay. And then he rehearses, like, he still blesses him in that. So then you see now Jacob, you know, he's young. He's very young. And he's done this terrible thing here. And he starts to, like, try to get to his uncle Laban. So he leaves Beersheba and he goes towards Haran. And then in Genesis 28, verse 11, and we could actually read that, he sleeps and he like gets this rock and makes a bed for himself. And could someone... Can someone read that? Genesis 28, 11 to 15.
at sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I finish giving you everything I promised to you.
So here is Jacob in this nasty place. He's like really messed up. He's deceived. He's afraid. And he sleeps. And God, like, now God is the one that tells him. See, before Isaac told him the blessing. But now God is the one that tells him, I'm going to bless you. Wherever you're going to go, I'm going to be with you. And God was like telling him, Jacob, I am going to be your friend. I am going to be loyal. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to leave you. And it's very like interesting. So when Jacob woke up, he recognized the presence of God. And maybe that was the first time. I think that was the first time he really recognized the presence of God and who God was in his life. And he called that place Bethel. So then now there's the life of Jacob continues from Genesis 29. And we see how, you know, he falls in love with Rachel. He ends up with Leah. His uncle Laban is, you know, what you sow in deception, you'll reap in deception. So like it's just a replay. Like, okay, he did this, but now this is happening to him. And then so he has to work again for Laban. He wanted to work for Laban for 7 years, and then he did that, and then he worked again another 7 years. So he worked 14 years for two women. And he only wanted one. And so within that time frame, he had 12 sons within that time frame with the women there, with Rachel, Leah, and the two servants of the two women whom those two women gave to him. You know, it was just a mess. There was such family division, deception, mess, lies, constant. So Jacob was a deceiver, and he reaped deception from Laban. And we see that in Genesis 29-25. And then the cycle of deception continued. So in Genesis 30, from verses 37-43, it continues and continues and it continues. Then his sons get involved. They end up trying to kill a whole city. His one daughter was raped. It's just a mess. It's all mess. But remember, God's promise to Jacob was still there. And God never left him. He never left him. And God was speaking to him. He was speaking to him constantly. Okay, go just do this, do that, you know. So it was just a story. I mean, do we see like... Do we see faithfulness here? There was a lot of unfaithfulness. There was a lot of disloyalty. They weren't loyal to each other. His sons decided to do something totally crazy that they ended up having to leave that place. They couldn't stay there because they basically massacred, you know, all the men. So it was just a lot of human sin and disappointment. And it was all there. It was all there. So then, yet, through it all, God was working out his purposes for the 12 tribes of Jacob, of Israel. And And now we get to like Joseph. And towards the end of, if you read Genesis 49, you see how like Jacob blesses his sons. And with certain sons, you know, he, especially like his firstborn, he says, you were mighty, but now you're no longer going to be, because his firstborn went with his concubine. It was just a mess. So with certain sons, there were blessings, and with others. But then when it came to Joseph, he got to this place and he said, you know, and I'm going to, in Genesis 49, verse 22-26, and we could all follow together. And I'm just going to read it. It says, so now Jacob is about to die. So he's giving his last words. And, you know, like, just to pause, when we were at the conference and when we were with all those pastors, like, you've got to understand that those men, that those African pastors have been with Pastor Shibeli from the 80s. You know, there's been a long history. And Pastor Ben Nard, that he preached, and he was just thinking, like, Pastor Shibeli and all these men of God, that basically we wouldn't be here if they weren't loyal, if they weren't faithful to the call of God, if, you know. And so here is now Jacob in his final words, his final ending. And he says to, he gets to Joseph, and he says, Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. And on it goes with how much the Lord is going to bless Joseph, bless that seed to everlasting to everlasting. It was a promise. And, you know, I'm just going to end here by comparing the two lives. So on one side, you have Jacob, who made a lot of mistakes, who was deceptive. It was like in his core. It was, maybe we could call it his blind spot, his disposition. But it was something very inner, and it dominated, and then it passed on. It was before him, and then it passed on, and then his sons were doing the same thing. His uncle was doing the same thing. It was just a mess, you know. Sin just reached sin, deception just reached deception, and all this. But even in that, like, God was faithful to him. Even in that, God gave him a dream, a promise, and God continued to speak to him and to lead him. And by the end of Jacob's life, he had discernment. He knew who he was going to bless. He knew, like, when it came to blessing Joseph's sons, he had his hands like this. And, you know, Joseph's like, Dad, your hands basically are in the wrong place. And he's like, I know what I'm doing. You know, it's going to be the younger one that's going to be ahead of the older one. So, like, God gave him amazing discernment through his failures, through the disappointments, through all of that craziness. God gave him that. And then we have the life of Joseph, who kind of the mess was coming to him. I mean, he was just getting shot left, right, and center. You know, God gave him this amazing ability to read and interpret dreams. And he was hated for it. He was hated for what he had. There was jealousy, anger, to the point of wanting of murder. They wanted to kill him, his own brothers. But, you know, in the end, like, if it wasn't for Reuben, the firstborn, he would have been dead. So they decided to sell him. But even in that, like, God was with Joseph the whole time. And Joseph had these walls. They were, like, everywhere he went. It was, you know, when he thought he was doing well at Potiphar's house, we saw what happened with Potiphar's wife. Then he was back in the jail again. But all of that was a part of the plan. You see, God has a plan in our lives. And whether, I don't know, like, we have to ask ourselves questions. Am I Jacob? You know? Am I like, not faithful? Am I not loyal? And am I deceptive? You know, am I Jacob? Or am I Joseph? You know, like, we're all very different. And maybe, like, in the course of our lifetime, we'll be both. We'll have times where we really have messed up and, you know, and then God meets us, and we call it our Bethel, our time where we are in this place. And actually, when Pastor Ben was preaching, like, he got to a place, you know, not like Jacob, but where he was really, like, asking, you know, and Billy Graham and Hudson Taylor. I mean, Hudson Taylor had his Bible, like, on the other side on a basically a tree stump, and was, like, questioning it. You know, he got to a place. And and I'm in this place right now, too, where I'm like, God, you know, this is, like, I want to be a faithful person. I want to be a good friend. I want to be loyal. I want to love and have humility and meekness, you know, but I find that I'm so far from that, you know, and, but, like, God will always meet us, and we will have dreams. Like, he will give us a word, you know, and it won't just be through other people, but it will be God himself, just like God met Jacob while he was running, and he should have been running, because it was his fault. You know, but God still said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. And then we see, to the very end, we see what happened at the end with his son, Joseph. And you know that Jacob got to see Joseph's son's kids to the third generation. So, like, he got to see it all. So Jacob, you know, he lived a time where he thought Joseph was dead. He was very alone, you know, and it was like he was a dead man. He just had no will to live anymore. And then, you know, but all the time, like, God had a plan. God had a plan. God had a plan. So I want to encourage you today. You know, these are good questions to ask ourselves. Like, we get to a place in our lives, and you know. But well, either by our own doing or by other people, you know, whether it happened like a Jacob or like a Joseph. But we get to a place in our lives where we have to be very real, very honest with God. And then God will speak to us, and God will take us to a new level. Like, did Jacob in his tent in wherever he was in the desert, did he really think? Did he know that Joseph was now, like, second in command to Pharaoh? That Joseph was going to be used to save the world, you know? He had no idea. So, like, Jacob was probably wondering, I really screwed this up. I really, really, you know, my sins, the consequences, everything. Now look, the one son I loved, you know, that I thought, like, he was going to be the next one. Is basically dead. Was he dead? No. The cool thing is, guys, when we read the Bible, we could actually see that we read it in its entirety. But if you put yourself in that place, if you actually put yourself in a place like Jacob, the father, maybe you're a mother, you can really identify that my child is dead. But was he dead? No, he wasn't. And that he would be forced. This famine was again from God. To force them to get to Egypt so that the plan will be fulfilled. So I want to encourage you today. You know, like, these are good questions to ask. And a good way to think, like, am I a good friend? You know, have I not been a good friend? Am I faithful? You know, have I been unfaithful? Am I loyal? have I been disloyal? You know, do I love? Have I not loved? These are very, very good questions. And I think we have to constantly ask ourselves these things. Because remember, Satan will always throw us counterfeit things. He will always give you something that seemingly seems better. You know, like God had already promised Abraham already that he was gonna, you know, his seed will be like countless. So that, and then he passed that down to Isaac, and then it got to Jacob, and Jacob tried to make up his own plan with his mommy, you know, but he didn't need to do that. It didn't have to be that way, but it happened. But did God leave him? No. God met him. While he was running, God met him. And maybe you're running right now. Maybe I'm running. You know, and God is going to meet me just like he will meet you, just like he will meet, like he met Jacob. And, you know, like Nyasha mentioned that message, like God runs to us and he wants to give us that personal word. And maybe you find yourself like, I am barely on this line, barely. I'm going to fall off. I'm actually falling. I'm falling. And he's like, no. You know, I'm going to bless you. And hang in there, because there's something you don't even know. You don't even know. Like, you don't know that your son is now second in command to the most powerful nation in the world. And that he will be used to deliver not just you, but everyone. You know, and that your seed will continue. So, like, these are things to really think about. And it's provoking, you know, and I was really touched when I could see, like, we had our last day, we had Pastor John Jason with us, and I had this lovely picture of you, Miss Connie, with him. You didn't know I was taking it, so it's a very nice one.
I didn't see it, so. Yeah.
and you know, we hugged him and kissed him goodbye, and he always comes to the hotel to say goodbye to us, you know, and to Pastor Shabelli. And he's now turning 80 years old. And like he has been a faithful man of God. He's been faithful and a faithful friend to Pastor Shabelli. And like I remember in, I think it was 2004 when I made my first trip to Ghana. And I remember he was with us in all those in the van. You know, we didn't have AC. There was a hole in the floor of the van. So it was like dust on the outside, dust from the bottom up, you know. And he was very attentive to Pastor Shabelli. Like very, you know, if Pastor Shabelli like moved his head, he would do this. Like, what do you have to say? Do you need something? You know, and he did all those trips year after year after year, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool. And Pastor Lawson Doe, you know, these now they're old men. But they're on fire for God. I mean, Pastor Lawson preached this message, you know, just on fire. But you get to see, like, that it reaps a blessing when you have these things in your life, you know. And sometimes maybe we're familiar with it, maybe we're familiar. But they're very good questions to ask ourselves. So this is kind of a question mark message, Bible study, really. But just to think, you know, like, there are two lives, Jacob and Joseph. And, you know, Joseph had the walls in his life. Jacob made his own walls, you know. But, like, I think we will have times where we're both, you know, we're both people. But God is still God, and he's the same, and he's faithful, he's loyal, he's true. And, you know, and even when we aren't, that's the thing. Like, Jacob was running. But God was running after him, you know, and God was going to meet him, and he showed him this amazing vision, you know, like the angels, like, ascending and descending from heaven. That's just incredible that God would show that to a deceiver, that God would do that. So I encourage us all today just to really think about these things, you know, think about these questions in our lives. And I think sometimes we need to get to a place where we are at a Bethel, where we're just nothing, you know. Later on, like, Jacob is still fighting God, and in the end he really does kind of surrender, you know. But they're just very good places to be. And it can be a very scary place because you're so unsure, and there's also, like, remember Satan, he's always trying to bring in the other thing, the counterfeit, you know. But, like, just hang in there, guys, and, you know, he has a promise for each one of us and a calling for each one of us because we're all very individual. And, yeah, so that's what I wanted to share. I know people are very tired and some are going to work now, but, yeah.
The pastor that you were talking about, that you said you took a picture of, is that the one that has Alzheimer's?
No, he doesn't have Alzheimer's, no. He's basically the pastor over, you know where the main conference was in Clagon?
Right, his last pastor that came before we left.
Yeah.
I thought someone said that his health was gone, that he had you had said... It was amazing to you that he remembered all the names and stuff. That's why.
Yeah, well, when he first saw us, because it's been 4 years since he's seen us, and whenever he saw us, he always remembered us and always called us by name. And then the first time I saw him this time around, he was like, "And your name again is," and I reminded him of my name. But then when he came to visit us, he remembered. He was like, "Sophie," you know.
Because I know you had gone up to Latasha because you were so impressed that he could remember everyone's name and stuff like that. That's why I thought maybe he was...
Because I
know someone said his health was deteriorating.
Yeah, and the last time I said goodbye to him, I mean, it was 4 years ago, and I honestly didn't think I would see him again. I was, like, weeping when I said goodbye. So it was so cool to see him again and you know, and to hug him again. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a faithful man of God. A man that's turned 80 and is still coming to see Pastor Shabelli to spend those last bits with this, with his father, you know? And
it doesn't matter how old you are. You can still go to Bible college and all that kind of stuff because at the one graduation, there was a pastor there that was just turning 80 this week sometime. And he had just graduated and stuff and got his...
Yeah. So. Exactly. And so I think that's kind of what I want to be. You know, I want to be that person one day that could be that type of, you know... faithful person that after so many years I could look around and still have Caroline 80 years old beside me. You know, like Latasha, just different, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's a blessing there, and we were beneficiaries of that blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to really see through that trip and the work in Togo, you know, like Pastor Luigi from Italy, his wife's from France, you know. When he first went there, he said, "I'm never, ever coming back to this country again." He ended up staying there 12 years with his family. And, like, that work now has just spread. It's like God's blessing, you know, when we are faithful and the attacks will come. And, like, Satan is going to throw everything against that. He is not a loyal. He's not loyal. He's not a friend, you know. He'll, like, bring you in, "I'm your friend, I'm your friend," and then, you know, ha-ha. But so, like, being on guard for that, and now in this day and age, I mean, the Bible says it, you know, like, man's hearts will grow cold. And that's in the church, too. It's so easy now just to move on, you know, just that. Click, disconnect. I don't need to know you anymore. I don't need to see you. You know, but God has a plan, and He never forgets those places in our life. He he was the same. And I really love, if you read Genesis 27 and then you go to Genesis 49, it's the same promise. The same promise. And it's being fulfilled. You know, now Jacob, he's about to die, but God's promise was fulfilled. And that's amazing. And that shows you, like, that kind of God, that's the God we serve. You know, and he was with Joseph too. He was with Joseph. And you know, when Jacob died, Joseph, he had Egyptians with him. He had chariots, he had everything. They helped bring him back, bring Jacob's bones back. He'd never wanted to be buried there. And they were mourning with Joseph. In fact, they were mourning so much that the Canaanites were like, whoa, what's going on? Because they heard it, you know. And they said, the Egyptians, like, this must be a real death, you know, that they've suffered. But I think that's like amazing too, that these Egyptians, like, godless, you know, would side with a man of God, you know. And that's just the depth of that blessing. So, you know, we don't know where God is going to take us, but it just starts with little things and guiding, like, you know, guiding our souls as well, because we could just be, you know, I mean, that she could have been eaten and no one would have known. She could have been dead and no one would have known. And there are things in our lives that could take us out, you know, and no one will know. And then one day, where are they? What happened? Oh my gosh, you know, so that does happen. That does happen. We're so always so close to that. So taking precaution. And one last thing, Pastor Shibeli, and I quoted it, but he did say, someone might tempt you with other kinds of water, but stay by the well. But he would say, stay by the well, stay by the well, stay by the well. Because there are temptations, like the evil one is always trying to lure us and like tempt us, like, here's another water for you, you know. And he's like, stay by the well. So, you know, this is like a charge to all of us, you know. And like just watching that. And if you find that there are areas, I'm going through it right now. I'm personally going through these things. So I'm not just talking, you know, like that God could really, like, he can meet us and that he'll have a Bethel in our lives, you know. So be encouraged. Yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, I just like the word counterfeit. It's not just that Satan's like trying to take us out, it's he's trying to make something else seem better than what God has. And I think as women especially, and we have weaknesses or areas, and maybe we don't even recognize it as such until it's much later and we've been beaten up a little bit. But I think that's really like maybe a word from God for me, just to like meditate. Like, it's really an attack, and it, you know, like the best lie has the most truth in it, you know, like he's very subtle and he's watching our lives, you know, he knows what can get us, and just not be ignorant of that. So thank you.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And if we have these question marks, you know, they're very good. It's a good time to examine our hearts before the Lord. They're very good for all of us. And if you haven't had that, you know, ask those questions, like, am I loyal? Am I a good friend? You know, and actually Pastor Shallow, before Pastor Ben, he was talking about this friendship and how, and their friendship throughout the years, him and Pastor Ben's friendship. You know, and he would say a friend sticks closer than a brother. You know, because like when you have a true brother, and sister in Christ relationship, sister and sister in Christ relationship, there will be things that you understand in a war, you know. There will just be things you'll get, and you'll continue, you know. And he was saying this story how, like, they... Well, anyways, it's a great message. You can listen to it. I know people have to go. But if you could listen... If you haven't already, it's the January 26th message. But it was a great story, huh?
The morning or the evening?
I don't know.
Was it the evening?
Oh, it must have been the evening. But just the things they went through together, you know. So, anyways, I know people have to go to work. So thank you very much. And Father, just bless tonight's work time. Bless, thank you, God, for FedEx. And bless our school day tomorrow. And everyone else's jobs, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.